warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. And so raise your glass. I'm Adam Manan, standing here today in studio with my friend who is sitting, David Niles.
Have we talked about this yet, how you stand? I think we...
No.
We haven't?
No, we've said, I've been meaning to talk about this, and then we never did.
So you're standing now.
I'm standing. It's my thing.
I feel like we talked about this.
No way, dude. We mentioned we should talk about it.
I'll bet you a dollar we talked about this.
I don't want to bet a dollar. I will.
You know what the worst part about losing a dollar bet?
What?
Having to go get
a dollar. Yeah.
Who has dollars?
Who even carries cash around anymore?
Yeah, physical currency?
Yeah. It's like the newspaper.
It's weird.
Who reads a newspaper?
When I get money though these days, it's a
treasure.
It is a prized possession. No. That's my cash.
Yeah.
I might need that.
Can't get any more
of
this.
I have to have it because it's like, where are you supposed to, you know?
Yeah.
Where does everybody get all this cash from?
Yeah.
Doesn't even exist in my world.
It doesn't mine either.
I pay with my cell phone for a lot of stuff.
Me too.
Samsung Pay is legit.
I do as well.
Because you can...
Apple Pay.
With Samsung Pay, you can pay... With your credit card on any machine that you swipe your credit card.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. And it blows people's mind. Like, I went to this gas station in Michigan out in the middle of nowhere. And I held my phone up to the thing. And she's like, yeah, that didn't work here. And I said, well, let's just see what happens.
Like the commercial? They have a commercial.
Yeah,
that
it's exactly like the commercials.
Yeah.
I mean, those commercials are like, that is exactly what happens. And she goes, that doesn't work here. I said, let's just see what happens. And then it went through and she's like, how did you do that? What was that? Yeah, special technology. I developed it myself. I didn't actually say that, but it would be funny.
It would be funny.
They call me Tony Stark.
Basically Iron Man.
I just make stuff that works, you know?
Okay.
My basement.
So let's talk about the Catholic Man Show real quick.
I have lasers down there.
Because we're digressing quickly.
Machines that know English.
The three things we do on the Catholic Man Show. Every episode, we open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. We talk about a man gear, and we have a manly discussion.
Which we have not actually done yet. I know you might be thinking, based on our conversation, that
maybe we've
been pretty deep into it, but we have not actually started the man beverage.
That's true. Here's something I want to talk about real quick before we get into the man beverage.
Make it quick, though.
No promises. So last week, I was hanging out with Blake Berger, a Council of Man member,
yeah,
and like our friend. Every time I hang out with Blake, it's like, I need to hang out with you more.
Mm-hmm,
like, he's
mm-hmm.
one of those guys. Like,
yep.
Every time you hang out with him, you're like, you're my bud. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was talking to him, and we were talking about our bucket list of live sporting events that we'd want to go to.
Okay. Interesting.
And, which was kind of cool to talk about, you know, especially because live sporting events these days aren't as fun to go to anymore.
No. Mm-mm.
So, but we were talking about it, and then he flipped it on me. He said, well, what would be your bucket list to have as guests for the Catholic Man Show?
Ooh.
So what would be like your three, your bucket list three?
Three?
Yeah.
You're just going to like spring this on me.
Yeah. I haven't told you anything about this. Three.
Okay.
Off the top of your head. Ready?
Just anybody. I mean, I can just get crazy.
I mean, he gave me no parameters.
John Paul II.
No.
Peter.
Living. I'm sorry. Living.
Oh, okay.
Living.
You said no parameters.
I mean, okay, you're right. But I assumed that you understood, like, living people on the Catholic Man Show.
You know what I would like to do more than anything?
What?
I would like to bilocate on the show.
Okay. Where would you go?
Well, I'd be the other microphone.
Oh, so that way it's just more of you and less of me?
No. It'd be like, I could be the guest.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you don't have any three? You don't have your three?
No. That's a side note.
Oh, okay. Okay.
My three. Man. Let me give you mine next segment. I'll give you my answer.
Okay, so my three were Cardinal Raymond Burke, Scott Hahn,
okay,
and then Dr. Peter Kreeft. Those are my three.
Yeah, very good.
So anyway, okay, so let's get into the man beverage.
Have to be living though, huh?
Have to be living. Real. I mean, I could have said, but I should have said like the Pope, but I don't know why I didn't. But those were just the three that came to my mind immediately.
Okay.
So anyway, the man beverage today is brought to you by St. Stephen Hool, who is St. Stephen. Stephen is a council man member. We called him, like, I don't know, maybe episode in the early 10s.
Yeah. It was when I was trying to make up a new toast off the top of my head every episode until it went sideways, and I started talking about his death for way too long.
Right. Really awkwardly. And so we called him St. Stephen, who...
Which I didn't
martyr.
Even, it was like only later that I put together that, you know, St. Stephen was a martyr and
right.
It's just one of those Holy Spirit moments.
Is that, if that's what you want to call it.
I do. That's what I call him.
But Stephen sent us a batch of three little vials. One was a Lafroy Glore that we had on our 1 year anniversary.
Yep.
This one is Glenmorangie Bacalta.
Bacalta.
No, Bacalta. He kept saying the wrong word on purpose beforehand to try to get me to say the wrong thing. Like, he knew he was messing with me. Like, so anyway, it's okay. So it's a special reserve number 8.
Can we try it?
Let's try it.
I want to.
Okay, so we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
And
to Saint Stephen.
May his
death be written in the books of glory. How was that?
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
I hope the same for me too. Like,
yeah, just to clarify,
I hope like people talk about how I die someday.
Dude, I just want to be a martyr someday because like living a life of holiness is hard.
Dude, tell me about
and,
it.
And if like right before I die, I can just say, I love the Lord Jesus and I forgive you for killing me. Mm-hmm. And then I die.
Yeah.
Dude, that would be the way to go.
I agree.
It's like straight to heaven. Here
I
go.
I actually have a list of, I have a bucket list, so to speak, of ways I would like to die. Yeah, I really do.
Hey, the rule of Saint Benedict is you're supposed to remind yourself every day that you're going to die.
So my
but this is a little morbid.
And number one is giving my life for someone, aka martyrdom.
Right.
Either one. I feel like it's / martyrdom. Number two is long-term illness.
So you suffer greatly.
No, I just think
you
it's,
need to suffer greatly.
Oh, dude, you don't even know.
Yeah, I do.
No, I mean, it's worse than you realize. long-term illness is the gift of long-term illness is often overshadowed by the suffering that's right. So obvious.
Right.
But it is truly a gift to be able to get to say goodbye to everybody.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, it's not like, boom, you're just dead.
Right.
You get to say
What's
goodbye
your third?
In my sleep.
Oh, that's where you'd want to go?
It's awfully peaceful, bro. I think.
I mean, maybe. I mean, you just don't even know.
It seems that
until
way.
Until you're right. Up at the pearly gates.
Yeah.
And what if St. Peter said, hey, did you read my books?
I'm going to be like, yeah, I did.
You better make sure you say yes.
I will.
Better make sure you read them.
Because I did.
Okay, good. I just want
to
make sure.
You're not going to lie to St. Peter, bro.
He'll know.
I know.
Okay.
I read the books.
Okay. So tell me about Glenmorangie.
Still haven't tried it.
Yeah, I thought you did.
What do you think about it?
I've been just smelling it.
Been nosing it?
I've been nosing it.
It noses well.
It's sweet. Mm-hmm. It's a sweet note. Like, you smell it and it's not a, like, the ethanol, it's not like strong or stringent. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Sure.
Maybe.
I know there's a thing called an astringent.
It's not harsh. It's not harsh on the nose. It's very sweet.
That's what's in like face wash.
Yeah,
I don't think that's in here.
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts?
Obviously, it's fantastic. Everything by Glenmorangie is fantastic. There's pepper on the finish. Definitely sweet. Is it sherry?
Mm.
Is this a sherry? Is everything by Glenmorangie sherry?
No.
That
is very interesting. Okay, so. On the tongue.
So what we don't have is we don't have the bottle to tell us
right.
What the tasting notes are. And we didn't even look them up.
No. But on the tongue.
So we're shooting from the hip here.
It is very sweet. You get like the honey, floral. Mm-hmm. I get like this floral. I get
some orange.
So like, yeah, orange peel. But at the end, it is pepper.
Yeah.
And it's nice. It's a Highland Scotch, so it's not. If you don't like peat, this would be it.
Yeah.
Glenmorangie's.
It's not smoky either.
No, this one. The last one we had, the Macallan had a little smoke to it, even though it was a Highland Scotch.
Yeah, maybe. I don't really recall.
With Monsignor.
Yeah. I mean, I remember drinking it. I just don't remember.
Yeah. It was smoky. It was had a little smoke to it. Okay. This one has
no smoke.
No smoke.
No peat, which, yeah, like we said, is characteristic of the Highlands.
Mm-hmm.
But
this is very sweet at the front.
This is the way I think is the proper way to orient a whiskey. If you're going to have sweeter notes in there up front, pepper in the back, you know?
Yeah. Business up front, party in the back.
Right. Yeah. Hello to your face, punch you in the back. Is that right?
No. Punch in the gut.
Be nice to you up front and then be more aggressive.
Okay.
That's what I like for my whiskey.
Yeah. I think that's good. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like those candies that are like sweet and then sour.
Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah. They have their commercials where
they're
real nice at first and then they get sour.
How many people do you think are still listening?
I don't know.
Probably not very many. But if you are one of those that are still listening, when we get back, we're going to figure out what the man gear is during the break. And we're going to hit you with it.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be real good. So hang in there. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. We were just commenting, Adam and I, over the break, how good this whiskey is.
It really is delicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite Glenmorangies that I've had.
Tough to say. There's so many.
Yeah.
Glenmorangie has a pretty wider, diverse...
But I haven't tried all of them.
They have a diverse offering.
Yeah, I haven't tried them all, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't either.
Or even close to them all.
No. But I've had a lot of Glenmorangie.
Yeah,
they're all good.
Yeah, their Olorosos is very good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they've got one that's...
La Santa. It's in Oloroso sherry casks. It's called La Santa.
Yes, yes. And I like the one that they do that's in Caribbean casks.
Nope, that's... Belvini? Mm-hmm. They do the Korean cast.
Okay. Well, that one's good too, just as a side note.
Okay.
Okay. So the man gear. Wait, you want me to give my...
Yeah. I'm not letting you have to... You have to give your three.
Okay. My three are...
Blake Ast.
All right. Blake.
Yeah. Blake.
Blake. You want to go to war, Blake? Number one. Okay. Wait, do you want me to go number 3, 2, 1?
No,
because these are in order.
No, I just want you to go.
I'm gonna go 3, 2, 1. I'm gonna build up.
Okay, okay, that's fine.
Number 3, George Weigel. I said John Paul II. Okay. I figured George Weigel would be the substitute.
Man, okay.
What? It's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know how...
You know, maybe
he's
you're just not suited for that type of intellectual conversation, Adam,
I think
okay?
That, no, his... I just don't know how... Yeah, okay. George is extremely
smart.
I mean, I've met him.
Very smart
like,
guy, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Numero deuce.
Mm-hmm.
Dose. Okay, let's get it together.
Yeah. You.
Cardinal Dolan.
Okay.
And number one...
Why?
I like Cardinal Dolan, that's why.
Okay.
You got a problem with that?
No, I just didn't realize that you liked Cardinal Dolan.
Yeah, he's totally cool. I met him one time.
Okay.
And then Pope Benedict.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah.
I don't
really... When I thought of that one, I was like smiling to myself. I'm glad Adam didn't think of this one.
Like
he just said
the other two, I could pass on every day, but Benedict...
That's why I built up.
Yeah.
I liked that one. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so man gear.
Okay.
Shades.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
Sunglasses?
Yes.
Okay.
Shades.
You're not young enough to say shades.
Dude, I think I'm not sure young people say that anymore. I don't know what they say.
Oh. Okay, I mean, well, we're talking about sunglasses.
Maybe they don't.
Let's talk about sunglasses.
Sunglasses.
Okay.
Okay, so I think every man needs a pair of sunglasses.
Sure.
In fact, I'm down to one pair. I really need two. I've got my windshield sunglasses mm-hmm. for when I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
And then I if you don't have a yard, if you live in an apartment, you don't need the second pair. But if you have a yard and you weed eat and stuff, I like to have a second pair that I wear mowing.
Okay.
I'm not going to wear my Ray-Bans to mow the yard. You know what I mean?
Okay, so maybe I misunderstood. But yeah, I think the two that you're supposed to have are the wearing in the car that are comfortable.
Uh-huh.
That you also like, you can also wear those working in the yard. And then your second pair be your nice, very nice sunglasses that you wear to work, that you wear with your suit, that you wear, you know, very nice and proper sunglasses.
Okay, so the way I do it is the one I have some Ray-Bans.
Okay.
So those are, you know, black, very standard
mm-hmm.
Wayfair Ray-Bans.
Okay.
I wear those with my suit.
Okay.
And I wear those in the car.
Okay.
Because they're good sun, you know, like really you should wear sunglasses. Part of it is to protect your eyes. I have blue eyes, and especially if you have blue eyes, you should wear sunglasses because people with blue eyes are more susceptible to damage mm-hmm. from the sun.
Correct.
So I have some polarized.
I used to be a big Ray-Bans sunglass guy until like I got old and my eyes started getting bad.
Dude, you have a good sunglass story. Remember those glasses you got that you wore forever?
Yeah.
You had them forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how you got them?
Yeah.
15 second version.
Okay, so I used to be a server. I used to wait tables. Mm-hmm. And this guy, you know, always be nice to servers, by the way. This is just public service announcement. Be nice and tip well to servers.
If you've never been a server, you have no idea.
Right. So this guy was just kind of being, he was giving me opportunities to sanctify myself.
Yeah. And back when you needed it.
Back when I really need. I mean
you
still
need
do.
It new now. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And he was just giving me crap over and over again.
Grief.
And he was wanting to get his meal paid for because he thought that it was wrong, which it wasn't. But that's a side point. Okay. Anyway, so he said, "I want this meal paid for," and I said, "Well, I can't do that." And he goes, "Okay, I'll make you a deal. I'll give you these sunglasses if you tell me who said this quote. And if I'm right, if you're wrong, you pay for my meal. If you're right, I'll give you these sunglasses." I said, "Okay, deal." You know, and I was kind of like, "Whatever, dude."
Because
if you don't pay, I'm just going to go tell my manager.
Right, I'm going to have it comped.
Right, yeah. And so he said, who said, give me liberty or give me death? And I said, I just went blank. But whoever it is, Henry, his last name is Henry. I just remembered it from school.
I mean.
And I got it right. And so I got the sunglasses and he paid for his meal and left.
Yeah. And so you said it and you just. It's like thing
right off, yeah, right off the top of my tip of the tongue, boom, and got him. So anyway, okay, so I do want to talk about look that up because I can't remember who it is. It's driving me crazy. It's something Henry, I think.
Dude, we sound so dumb right now.
Well, that's okay. I do want to talk a little bit about sunglasses. In as far
is it Patrick Henry,
give me liberty or give me death.
Hang on, just keep going. I'll look it up.
There's something about sunglasses also that like people have gotten a little too crazy, a little too carried away with sunglasses. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, it just goes crazy. There's just, it defeats the purpose.
What do you mean?
It defeats the purpose of really sunglasses. It's more about drawing your attention to yourself. It breaks the virtue of decorum is really what I'm trying to say. It's bringing attention upon yourself and not really using the sunglasses for what they're. Patrick Henry. Okay. Oh, that felt much better. Okay, but it breaks the virtue of decorum.
Decorum is a virtue?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yes, and it's about using, being dressed appropriately for the appropriate times.
Okay.
And not bringing attention to yourself or not using something to bring attention to yourself when it's not called to
do. It sounds like the virtue of modesty.
Similar to the sub-virtue.
Sub-virtue?
I don't know. I'm not. I can't remember.
Okay. Someone needs to make a chart, like a flow chart of
that
virtues.
That would be awesome. That would be really nice. Anyway, let's use sunglasses for what they're made for.
Mm-hmm.
Let's remember what it's made for. And I mean, hipster sunglasses with colors and all that stuff is fine.
Yeah, that's cool.
But when you get crazy, like I've seen some with like these huge wings coming off of sunglasses, and I don't know, just
what's the ones with like the bars going through them. That
yeah, and like there's ones that look like Terminator or like Star Trek that like has just like a big shield around it.
Oh, I'd wear that.
Anyway, like let's.
I'd mow the yard in that. No problem.
Well, yeah. Well, they would be effective for that point. You would not be breaking the virtue of decorum for that. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So I also think you gotta know yourself. We talk about that on the show about knowing thyself, and you gotta know what you can pull off and what you can't.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, like there's some sunglasses, and these come in and out of style with like the silver, the very reflective. I don't know what you call them, and they're almost like rainbow.
Hmm.
Like the glare on the side kind of gets a rainbow. You know what I'm... Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. No one else does, but I know what you're saying.
Well, some people can wear those, and I've seen people wear them, mm-hmm. and go like, okay.
I got you.
Yeah, sure. I like it. But when the wrong guy wears them, it's not good. It's like, oh, man.
Really, is it more about having confidence that you can pull it off?
That's part of it, but there's more to it than that.
Because some people can be really confident and just be wrong.
Yeah, exactly. that's exactly what I'm getting at. Sometimes it's just not, it's not there, you know.
It is nice though to complete your suit. Like if you wear a suit every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I wear button down shirt, but I don't wear a suit every day.
Right.
But when I do wear a suit and it's sunny out, I do like to have the complete set with sunglasses on.
Mm-hmm.
Feels right.
It does. So, yeah. I agree. I mean, I typically don't because I park in a garage. It's covered and I'm inside. Essentially, I'm not going to wear my sunglasses.
You could be.
I'm just going to
leave them in my car. He wears them.
Okay. Well,
at
I'm glad you said that. Don't wear your sunglasses inside. I feel like
that would probably be breaking the virtue.
I feel
of
like
decorum.
People who do that deserve or maybe not deserve, but are asking to get slapped. That's what I, you know, it's like, get those sunglasses off your face.
What are you hiding?
My future's so bright, I wear sunglasses inside.
It's like, what are you hiding? Why do you need to hide your eyes?
Right, exactly.
Look at me in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell if you're looking at me.
It's shifty. It's shady.
Mm-hmm. Ah, see?
Yeah.
I see mm-hmm. what you did there.
I don't like it.
Okay, so why did we pick sunglasses? Other than it's man gear.
Because we're talking about Fatima and...
Miracle of the Sun.
The dancing of the sun, right?
Yeah.
Even though at that miracle, the sun dimmed itself.
Yeah, you didn't need it.
And you could just see
it. In fact,
you
could see all the photos on it, and no one's really covering their eyes, shading their eyes.
Yeah.
They're looking right at the sun. No one's covering their eyes.
They say it looked like Mother of Pearl with the sun. Yeah.
Sweet.
Cool.
Okay, so when we get back, we're going to talk about Fatima.
We're going to have a conversation about it.
It's time to have another conversation about Mary anyway.
I agree.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side. So raise your glass.
Really glad you guys are hanging in there with us. This is the Catholic Man Show. Dave and I have been really busy. So this is a very busy week for us. We have 3 recordings that we're doing this week.
This is the second one today.
We're trying to hire somebody for our radio station. We're trying to put together a camping trip upcoming for the Catholic Man Show. That'll be an annual camping trip in the fall
mm-hmm.
at Clear Creek Monastery.
Yeah.
We have... we're going to be going to men's conferences here pretty soon. And so we're having to prepare for those. We have day jobs, our family. Like we just have a lot of things going on. We're a little scatterbrained today.
Yeah. It's exhausting. I've been bilocating all day and still have not been able to get everything done. I'm going to have to trilocate tomorrow. I'll be the first.
You'll be the first?
Yeah. First trilocating individual.
Nice.
Thank you.
Our man beverage today was Glenmorangie Bacalta. Is that right?
Yes. No, you said it right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bacalta.
Dude, it's Bacalta.
Bacalta. Our gear was sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
And our topic, which is awesome because we're going to get a chance to talk about our mother, Mary.
Mm.
Our Lady of Fatima.
Our Lady of the Rosary.
Our Lady of the Rosary.
Yeah.
Which she revealed, like, that's how she revealed herself. Mm-hmm. At least, like, the second apparition.
It was at the very end.
Oh. She revealed herself several times at the very end. Like, one as with Joseph and baby Jesus, uh-huh. And then one time as Our Lady of Sorrows, and then one time as Mount of Carmel.
Yeah, she appeared under her other known titles.
Right.
Up to that point, yeah.
So.
But,
Anyway, this is your topic, so go ahead.
She appeared at the very end, the sixth appearance,
mm-hmm.
as Our Lady of the... She identified herself as Our Lady of the Rosary.
I thought it was the second.
Mm-mm. It was at the very end. She said, I'll tell you who I am in October.
Okay. Fair enough.
But she did, on the very first apparition, say that she was from heaven.
Mm-hmm. I do remember that.
It seems pretty obvious that if there's a lady appearing to you who says she's from heaven, it's Mary. I mean...
No, not necessarily.
I mean, maybe not, because I guess there's a bunch of saints and stuff, but...
And, like, the devil.
Well, I mean, if she's actually from heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so, Fatima. Yes. Why are we talking about it today, Adam?
Because it's the 100-year anniversary.
100 years.
Yeah. I think May 13th is the first time that she appeared, correct? So, when is this airing? This is airing on...
May 5th.
No, it's May 8th today. So it's going to be airing on May 11th. So this this Saturday, May 13th, will be the 100-year beginning.
Yeah, May 13th.
Yeah, because it's the 13th of the month.
Yeah, it's always the 13th. I wonder why, if there's anything significant about the 13th.
I don't know.
Is 13 a perfect number?
It's a prime number.
It's prime.
Dude, I'm about to turn 31. Another prime number. Getting back to the prime numbers.
Nice.
Yeah.
You are so old.
Okay, I'm sorry. Keep going, dude. Let's talk about this.
Do you remember the 100 years ago when...
Keep going. Let's talk about this.
Okay, so Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
This is amidst World War I.
Mm-hmm.
Many, 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 many people had died. About 220,000 Portuguese civilians died during the war. Also, there was a time going on of anti-clericalism.
Yeah, because it was very heavy in, what is it? Oh, I just went blank. The guys who, the Shriners.
Oh, Masons.
Masons, thank you.
Yeah, they were very, very popular.
Very heavy in the Masons.
Yeah. And Masons are anti-Catholic.
Yes.
Even if they tell you they're not, they are.
You cannot be Catholic and be a Mason.
Nope. And Catholics are anti-Mason, not in the individuals themselves, but anti the organization, because it's not good. Not good. But anyway.
That's not what we're talking about.
We'll bash them on another episode. So, Portugal. They're going through this anti-clericalism phase. A lot of things are going on. A lot of feast days are not allowed to be celebrated, according to the Portuguese government.
Mm-hmm.
Things like church bells were banned, and many, many, many priests were being killed.
And none, like all religious.
Yeah, and nuns, yeah. So it was a bad day. It was a rough time culturally.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that is nice to think about at these times is sometimes I get not necessarily overwhelmed, but I'll start to really feel like our culture today is flying off the deep end.
Well, it is.
And maybe it is.
No, it is.
But it's comforting to know that, hey, this has happened so many times before.
That's true.
And the church really is in good hands,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and we'll be okay.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Things are, they're going to be fine.
Just keep your soul, like, you know, in a state of grace.
You just do you.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
which,
make sure
which
soul
will flow. If you do you right, you will flow into your surrounding circles. Yeah. Okay. So, there's these children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Three, to be exact.
Well, I'm going to name some. This is where, here we are. Summer 1916.
Okay.
Lucia dos Santos,
mm-hmm.
the youngest of the family of seven.
Mm-hmm.
She began shepherding the family flocks,
mm-hmm.
which you don't. I don't typically think about female shepherds, but she was. And then she had, there were three of her friends, Teresa Matias and her sister Maria Rosa, and then Maria Justino. Okay. So they're all out there hanging out.
Okay.
And this angelic figure appears. And then they tell their moms, and they're like, ah, you're kids. Well, you don't know anything. But anyway, keeps appearing, who eventually reveals himself as the guardian angel of Portugal. So this guardian angel is actually the priest. He's like the John the Baptist for the Marian apparitions. This is one of the things that's very unique.
Or Gabriel.
Or Gabriel, sure. But, you know, like...
It's more like... Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
He was preceding... These mm-hmm. apparitions, just like John the Baptist, you know. Gabriel wasn't a public thing, you
right.
know.
Right. I just think there's some really cool parallels with she was a shepherd. There's shepherds in the field, and the angel came down
sure.
and said, announcing, you know, the Messiah is here. You know, go over here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Okay. Ahead. Okay. So
there's some parallels
it's,
there.
It's just interesting that the Fatima apparitions actually were preceded by another apparition that were simply pointing to the Fatima apparitions. That's how important they were. I don't know of any other Marian apparition that had a precedence.
Well, the Fatima apparitions is like the gold standard of Marian apparitions.
Sure, sure. So anyway, this angel starts appearing to these people, and then this angel actually gives them communion.
Which would just be, I don't, like, how hard would it be to receive communion and be focused like, oh my goodness, I'm receiving communion from an angel, and not be thinking that without thinking like, I'm receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. It's like super mind blown because you're trying to focus on the Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord, but it has to be mind warping that you're receiving it from an angel.
Right. It would be weird.
That'd
but
be
of
very
course
hard.
The angel could appear in such a way that would
but you'd probably
not
know.
Distract. Yeah, but, you know.
I know, it'd just be hard. It'd be
anyways,
hard.
So, anyway, May 13th, like you said, here is the, now it's three people. Lucia, she was still there, so she was one of the original who was being appeared to the guardian angel. Well, now she's there with her cousins, Francisco and Jacinta.
Mm-hmm.
Marto is their last name. She's 10. Francisco is 9, Jacinta is 7. So these are just little kids, okay? Mm-hmm. And so Mary appears to them for the first time on May 13th. Like we said, it's always on the 13th. And basically, her message is all about pray the rosary every day.
And sacrifice for the...
And make sacrifice for the remission of your sin and for the sins of the whole world.
But don't you think that that's like almost every apparition that's been approved by our church, that's what Mary says?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like every time she's coming...
It's always turn back to Jesus.
It seems like she's always coming when we keep messing up as a society, as a world, you know, as just humans. We keep messing up. We're in turmoil.
Right.
We're heading down the wrong path. And it's like, listen, guys, you really need to straighten up. You know, you need to be praying every day, and you need to be praying for the sinners because, you know, time is dwindling.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like that's her message, like
right.
almost every time.
Yeah, don't. What are you waiting for?
Right, stop.
Do it now.
Yeah.
And who knows how many, what the world would have, no, what would it have looked like if these apparitions hadn't been heeded? Because most of them have been, you know, overwhelmingly heeded, like
mm-hmm.
Guadalupe. Our Lady of Guadalupe, that was changed the whole country.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, I mean, like,
mm-hmm.
they listened.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, took off in the country big time.
Yeah.
So we've got Our Lady appearing. She tells these kids, I'm from heaven.
They're confused. It seems like they're somewhat confused because they don't know who she is exactly.
Right. All they know is that she's dressed in all white and that she asked the children to come back to this very same spot the next month on the 13th of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And she also promised them right away that they would all go to heaven.
I know. How sweet would that be?
Dude, that's what I want. Okay. So we've got the second apparition.
I mean, you can do it as long as you don't die in a state of mortal sin. You're unrepentant, and then you would go to hell forever.
No, there's some debate on whether you can know that or not. I say that you can, but anyway. different, another episode. So the second apparition, they were there all by themselves at this first time.
Mm-hmm.
But then each time more people start showing up because obviously they're just
curious.
Yeah. I'd go.
Yeah. I think I would.
If it was convenient.
I mean, I think that I would. I mean, it's just like one of those things, like, I don't know exactly what I would do.
Yeah, I know. I think I would be actually a super skeptic.
I feel like that I actually thought about this. If somebody said, Jesus is appearing, like, over here, I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to take that time. I'm going to adoration. I know Jesus is over here. I don't know for sure Jesus is over there.
Yeah, who could blame you?
So, anyway, when we get back, we're going to continue the conversation of Fatima. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles in studio with Adam Minahan. We're talking about Fatima and Our Lady.
One of my favorite topics of all time, Our Lady.
Mm. St. Louis de Montfort said that if you have not Mary for your mother, you have not God for your father. Bold statement.
Mm-hmm.
I like bold statements.
But you could take that and contemplate on that, like that in adoration for a long, long, long time.
Mm-hmm. It's just a bold statement.
There you go. If there's one thing that you can get from this show, there you go.
Like, I wonder if he would still say that with the state of Christianity today.
There's no telling. I mean,
it's interesting to think about.
He was like, no one liked him when he was alive.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, all the priests didn't like him.
Not a popular guy.
Not a popular guy at all. Anyway. Okay.
Probably because he went around making bold statements.
Yeah. We're not talking about St. Louis tomorrow. As much as I'd love to.
Yeah.
Let's talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're a sinner. Okay, so we've got these three children. Mary tells them to come back at their first apparition. So July 13th, they go back. And she reveals to them, that's the third. It's June 13th, they go back. And she showed these children her Immaculate Heart, which was pierced by thorns, representing the sins of mankind. Okay? And she said, Jesus wishes to make use of you to make you known, to make me known and loved. That's what she said to Lucia. Because she asked, will you take us to heaven? Like right now.
Yeah, I'm ready.
And
I mean, because why would you not? If you're seeing Mary right there in all of her glory.
Let's go.
I want to go now.
Right. I know what I'm made for.
Yeah.
And it's not this place. Yeah. And so Lucia asked that. And Mary said, well, Jacinta and Francisco will be joining me soon. But you will have to wait because God has a plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
And Lucia ended up living to almost 100.
Mm-hmm.
She was a nun,
right?
And it's good that she lived that. I think she died in 2005. It's good that she lived that long because up till the last of her life, they were going back just to confirm, is this what the secret was? Mm-hmm. And blah. And there's still to this day some controversy around that, and I'm going to ask you about that.
Okay.
So then she says, come back again on the 13th. So July 13th, this is when the secrets were given. This is what the great secrets. It was given in three parts. Okay, so the first part was that she wanted them to pray the rosary every day.
This is the month of May. So if you're not praying, if you're a man and you're not praying the rosary, you pick up your rosary right now. In fact, if you're not carrying your rosary with you every day, you need to. I don't know, like, you can't pray the rosary if you don't have your rosary with you. I mean, it's hard to. I mean, you can, but you need to have it with you.
You got 10 fingers.
It's your weapon. You need to have it with you.
I agree.
So if you're not carrying your rosary, if you're a man and you're not carrying your rosary, you need to be carrying it. If you're not praying your rosary every day, you need to be praying it.
You can fight without a sword. It's just a lot harder.
Yeah, and you'll probably lose.
Okay, so then she also asked to sacrifice yourself for sinners, and as many times, especially whenever you make some sacrifice. This is what she asked these children to pray, and we can all do this. Oh, my Jesus, it is for love of thee, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
I need to memorize that prayer.
Yeah, really short.
The Fatima prayer is one of my favorite prayers.
Dude, it is my favorite prayer.
It's like one of my favorites.
It's what else could you need to be praying for?
Tell them what the Fatima prayer is.
Okay, so this was added to the rosary. Mm-hmm. The rosary already existed at the time, but one of the things she asked asked us to do is at the end of each decade to say the Oh My Jesus,
forgive us our sins.
Wait,
save us from the fires of hell.
Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. Yeah. So that's one of the best prayers. I mean, mm-hmm. that says all of it. What else mm-hmm. could you even want to pray for?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great prayer.
I love it.
Yeah. The only other one is Our Father.
It's another home run.
Right.
Home run, Jesus.
Yeah. But that is an amazing prayer. It's one of my favorites. I love it.
Short, and it applies to every situation almost.
It seems like very efficacious prayer. Seems like it's mm-hmm. a very efficacious prayer.
I agree. Anyway, so the third secret, though, mm-hmm. was not revealed until the year 2000,
mm-hmm.
when it was finally revealed. And we'll get to that here in a second. One interesting thing is that there were people who were gathering, and they would start to see a cloud appear above this tree. Apparently, she was appearing above a tree. Mm-hmm. And then they would hear a loud thunderclap when she would leave, mm-hmm. which is pretty sweet. So then the fourth apparition, she said, you know, make sure to come back in August on the 13th. Well, the kids were kidnapped.
Yeah,
by the
government.
Mayor,
yeah.
Who was also a Mason. Mm-hmm. And for 2 days, they were held. So they didn't actually make it, but Mary did appear to them privately on the 15th, I believe. So that was...
She basically said, come back the next month on the 13th.
Yes. So then the apparitions, you know, that the public was seeing started to get bigger on the fifth apparition. They saw the pillar of clouds, but several witnesses also said they saw a globe of light, and the pillar of cloud was like 16 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And then they saw a shower of these small white things that they thought were like rose petals or something.
Like snow almost.
Snow, right. But it would dissolve or go away before it hit the ground. And then on October 13th, there was the big miracle because Mary said, next time
I'm coming in,
we're going to show off.
Bring your friends.
Right. We're going to prove to everybody that this is legit.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the dancing of the sun.
Okay. So let's talk about this for a second. Cause I've been wanting to talk about miracles. Like I've told you this, I don't know, probably like 6 months ago. Like yeah. one of the topics that I want to cover.
That's one of the episodes you got that you want to do.
Yeah. Is miracles. But here is a miracle that has happened very recently mm-hmm. in the grand scheme of things. And I have not done enough research. I mean,
100 years ago.
Yeah, I haven't done enough research to see what atheists today would say about that. I don't even know if they've addressed it. I'm sure they have.
When I was researching this episode, I saw video after video. I didn't watch any of them because I just didn't have time. Of the dancing sun explained.
Right, but here's the deal. All these guys, there's like 70,000 of them that came for this, right? Over 70,000 people.
Right.
Most of them were not Catholics. A lot of them
well,
were
I don't
not.
Know. I don't know about
a
most,
lot,
but
a lot of
them certainly
were not.
A lot of them there.
Because
there were even press, anti-Catholic press, well, atheist press.
Because the whole country was basically anti-Catholic. So that would make sense. That,
well, the government was, yeah.
Most of them probably were there.
I think there were still plenty of Catholics in the country. They were
yeah.
just all being oppressed.
Okay, a lot of them. There was a lot there to just say, I'm here because I want to disprove this and make these mm-hmm. people sound crazy.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that Catholic or not, most people expected nothing to happen.
Yeah. And here's guys, you know, from the press, atheist guys, who had to say exactly what happened, and they confirmed that this is unexplainable.
Yeah, and at one point, the sun looked like it had come loose from its place in the heavens and was crashing to Earth.
Yeah.
And it got huge, and apparently it terrified everybody.
Yeah, because they thought that, like, they're about to get burned up.
Uh-huh, and everybody fell to their knees and started praying.
Repenting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and asking for mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I thought about this just briefly because this wasn't my topic, but tonight I was thinking about that fire. Do you think that the fire was more like the wrath of God or the purity of and love of God that they just could not handle because of their state of their soul?
Well, I don't think it was the wrath of God. I'll say that. I mean, it's described as rainbow. I mean, the description.
Well, not the fire part. The fire part was like they thought that they were about to be burned alive.
Well, that's when it came like rushing them. But before this, it was like dancing around in the sky, and they mm-hmm. said it would throw light off to this side and purple off to this side and mm-hmm. blue and, you know, all these beautiful colors. And, you know, everybody was just standing there going like, whoa, you know.
Right.
I don't know what it means. To me, this has always been a strange thing. Like, you could do anything and you made, I mean, it's very cool.
It's very hard to wrap your mind around. However, it's happened recently. I mean, and so I just be curious, if you're an atheist listening, I think that we do have a couple atheists or agnostics that are that listen to our show. If you are, I'd be very interested in a very gentlemanly conversation about this and what your thoughts are.
Yeah. So here's the controversy. One of the things that Mary asked these the kids to do is to have the Holy Father consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart.
Mm-hmm.
This is in 1929.
It didn't matter.
Yeah, whenever it was. Yeah. But it wasn't done for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, Jesus himself appeared to Lucia mm-hmm. and said, you know, he needs to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so then finally, the whole world was consecrated to Mary's Immaculate Heart. And a lot of people say that is not what she asked you to do and that doesn't count.
Right.
And then some people say, you know, it does count. And since then, Pope St. John Paul II did it. And Pope
Benedict, I think, did as well.
And I think Pope Francis
I'm not positive.
I think
that.
Pope Francis either did it or is going to do it. The whole world. Okay. It's all been, every time they've done it, it's been the whole world. Nobody has specifically consecrated. And when Pope John Paul II did it, he just did it himself. What was asked is that the Holy Father, in union with every bishop, do it at the same time
mm-hmm.
publicly.
Is that the question that you're going to ask me?
So what do you think?
So my thoughts are, I don't know enough research about it, but if it's good enough for Pope St. John Paul II and he feels like that he did what he was supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
that's good with me.
Yeah, there's just a lot of official stuff out there that says it's not, like, I was praying with the family before I came over here, and Pamela said, oh, look, there's a Fatima thing. And I opened it up. I was like, yeah, sure. And on the back, it was basically just saying how this still needed to be done. And I was mm-hmm. like, what is this? Because I think Lucia herself
said that
Our Lady accepted it.
Yeah.
That it was sufficient.
I mean, if it's good, Pope John Paul II was a lot smarter than I am. So if he thinks that it's okay,
I think it's been satisfied.
I do too.
That's my opinion.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for hanging in there with us. Pray the rosary. Pray
every
the rosary.
Every day.
This month especially.
You can do it.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And thank you, St. Stephen.